games, video 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 games.
It's February
12th,
2009, and in my opinion, the sun isn't hot.
This is Idle Thumbs 18, and I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Nick Brecken.
And I'm Jake Rodkin.
Welcome back to more Idle Thumbs.
I don't know what it is.
Sorry, Jake threw me off there. This sassy.
Yeah. You thought I was going to.
Yeah. And then you did.
I did. I can't stop.
So, I guess we can lead off with. Discussing this amazing Dante's Inferno game.
Oh, yeah.
That, I thought you were going to actually explain the part.
No, we'll get back to that.
This game is sort of amazing to me. Like, I remember when EA announced that they're doing a Dante's Inferno game for, like, the day in between the announcement and, like, the first, you know,
it's like, oh, fuck, really?
It's like, wow, that could be, like, what are they doing there? It's going to be some kind of crazy
adventure.
The trailer comes out, and it ends with that bullshit. Wow, someone's under arrest.
Yeah.
Or on fire.
Yeah.
I don't know which siren that is. It's like a moment to observe. Man, they're going for it today.
Yeah, might be some clowns.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, and then
speaking of a fire.
Speaking of a fire, there's a lot of those I hear.
In Dante's Inferno, in hell.
That's where you go when you play that game. I don't know, Jake. I think you read some kind of preview.
It just came out yesterday. Was the cover of the official PlayStation magazine, which has this. Like, the cover is completely insane. It has what looks like, I guess, PlayStation Magazine trying to tell you why Dante's Inferno is going to be cool, but it might also be the actual pitch of the game, where in just this horrible scrawled, like, blood on the cover of the magazine, it says, Dead Space meets God of War in Hell, Dante's Inferno.
That's like the elevator pitch.
EA's demonic epic revealed.
Sweet.
So, anyway, I've got this game. Get this. Dead Space meets God of War in Hell. It's based on Dante's Divine Comedy.
Yeah, pretty fucking sweet.
So, also, according to the write-up that I saw of the PlayStation Magazine preview of Dante's Inferno, kill me, it sounds like it's God of War meets Dead Space.
That's it?
In Hell. Oh, well, just, I guess, from what the internet seems to say about this... the sort of controls and playstyle are basically lifted straight out of God of War, except that it's taking place.
So what makes it Dead Space?
I don't know.
I mean, Dead Space, to me, a lot of it was
EA made it.
We needed another game for our clever equation.
Right. If you like a scary game that says EA on the box, and you like God of War...
It's like their game pitch from, like, Mad Libs. Like, they've just...
Right.
You know, like, fill in.
Yeah.
They got the Game Developers Conference Fridge Magnet Poetry...
Sometimes I feel like game design could be done as Mad Libs. Like, you know, the fucking, I don't know, QuickTime events. Plus, wouldn't you like 7 weapons? And, you know, like...
Also featuring innovative blank.
Right.
Just, you know, like...
Over 11 environments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and also, though, apparently Dante's Inferno has inverted crosses spewing lava.
Oh,
ah.
That feature is also
that's the innovative part.
I'm glad that's the bullet point on the thing.
Yeah.
So what, spewing lava?
I guess the actual quote from the preview is lava spewing from inverted crosses. So get ready for that.
Is that like a Mario, like a Bowser dungeon thing where you're like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and you're going through and there's like little, it's doing it like the little arcs where you have to dodge them and you have to run under them like as they go over
you. Yeah, or when you described that for some reason, I was thinking about 3D Mario games where like you're looking down on a pit of lava and there is a cross floating in it that's rotating, sort of like,
oh yeah,
I guess like some sort of like Crash Bandicoot style thing, and from the middle of it is a fountain of lava that may or may not be killing you. So get ready for that also.
It'd be pretty amazing if this game was actually just like Mario Galaxy in hell.
With, for some reason, the soundtrack to Mario Galaxy, a sort of majestic Disney, like leaping music. But then you're also just, you know, getting crushed there's by like, huge rocks yeah. and
humans
crucifixes
being, like yeah. pulled apart right. you know, on the walls. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd buy that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? That's actually Epic Mickey. It's actually the Warren Spector project.
Yeah, Epic Mickey is yeah.
Mm-hmm. In hell.
Mario Galaxy meets Dead Space meets Man. God of War.
Have you guys seen those ads like in Subways and stuff?
For poster Epic ads?
For, no, for like the new Burger King hamburger. That's some no. kind of what?
Fire, I'm wondering how you're going to tie this in now.
Fire burger. Well, the slogan for the burger is flavor you'll burn for. And that always strikes me as like the most fucked up, like you'll burn. Like, isn't that.
Wasn't there a Taco Bell taco that was like.
That's
on
the
fire?
Volcano.
Oh, okay.
Will you burn for that?
Because
when someone says you'll burn for this, I always think of like, right, you're going like, to go to hell.
Right. But you've
like,
committed a horrible fucking atrocity.
You'll go to hell to enjoy this flame seared hamburger. Yeah. Like, what? I guess, I don't know, they can co-market the marketing team. Dante's Inferno game.
Yeah, like the yeah. Burger King flame burger, the official burger of, you could type slash Burger comedy. King in, yeah. in Dante's right. Inferno, and it'll phone it into the nearest Burger King.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, I'd play that game. For the hamburgers. I play games for the hamburgers.
You play know? Sneak King?
Yeah, I did play Sneak King.
You son of a bitch.
It was terrible. Microsoft sent me all three of those games. That was the least terrible of them.
And well, it's like a stealth espionage game yeah. starring the king.
Yeah, that guy.
Splinter Cell meets hamburgers.
In hell.
In hell.
Yeah, so well done, EA. I don't fucking know. I'm so... This everything about this goddamn game, like, it's so just comical to me. Like, how is this a thing that you can just do? And it's and like
maybe
people aren't constantly calling it out as being retarded. I don't understand. Yeah. Like, why can a magazine put that on its cover? That stupid retarded. Like, yeah, we're basing it on the sort of seminal work by, you know, Dante Alighieri, and you know. Mm-hmm. By the way, it's fucking God of War meets Dead Space.
I can't wait until they
go to hell. What?
Yeah, I can't wait until like War and Peace is adapted, and you know, just like random fucking like Dostoevsky, like it's Dead Space meets fucking
Crime and Punishment based on the Phoenix Wright engine.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
What?
That'll be great.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe this is all. They're like reacting, swinging as far in the other direction as they can after like Mirror's Edge and that sort of stuff. And when you get this game, it's actually going to be this crazy, like sort of brilliant contemplative work. Mm-hmm. But then occasionally you rape someone in a QuickTime event.
Yeah. Who do you even play in this game? Do we know? I mean, probably we know, but
you're
I don't
Dante.
Know.
Yeah.
Kicking ass.
Right. Well, it's not actually Dante the author, but we thought the name was hardcore. Yeah. So you're an ex-con on the mend who's sent to hell for a crime he didn't commit, and you got to fight your way out.
Yep.
That is so incredibly plausible. Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't know.
They'll give him some sweet last name, like Phoenix.
Dante Phoenix.
Dante Phoenix. Yeah, you are Dante Phoenix.
Yeah. Or Dante. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. God.
Dante Steele. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyway, that fucking game.
Two playable characters confirmed.
And I really like Dead Space, and this is the same studio, so I think, right? So it kind of disappoints me that they're going from that to... I mean, you know, Dead Space was not a particularly, you know, deep story or, you know, I don't know. There's nothing about that universe that's particularly fascinating to me, but I give that stuff a lot of leeway when you're making it, when it's actually an original property and you're saying, look, this is our game about you being in a spaceship and there's aliens and ghosts or whatever. Like, if you're at least saying this is like the stuff we made up for it, that's fine. Like, when you start pretending you're fucking doing something that is, that is grounding itself in, I don't know, like all time classic human literature, like that's just retarded.
Actually, speaking of that, is this work in the public domain? At this point,
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, it is.
So,
yeah.
Could some other company also make a Dante's Inferno?
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be kind of cool.
We were talking about that at work about how it would be sort of amusing if Telltale just announced Dante's Inferno Episode 1 and just put it out like 2 days like, before EA's put the demo out on like.
Yeah, you guys can get that out by the end of the year. Yeah.
Anyone can do that. I mean, it would be that's the sort of thing that I would be really pleased if like Flashbang or someone just made a Dante's Inferno game.
Yeah, new contest: make a Dante's Inferno game and release it to retail. We'll give you guys a free copy of Halo Wars.
Yeah. So
questions at idlethumbs.net with your entries.
But yeah, I mean, developers, there's free marketing out there right now for Dante's Inferno. So
yeah,
yeah. It's like when.
But your game has to be. Dead Space meets God of War in hell. Otherwise, people won't know that it's the same game that got the cover story of PlayStation Magazine. So if you want them to think that, just, you know.
Inferno 2. Yeah, I would like to see what they follow this up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Dante's Purgatory. They're going through the whole series.
Get ready for that.
Yeah. Anyway,
it should be just like a classic literature series, really.
Dante's EA's Lord of the Flies. Yeah,
exactly.
Moby Dick.
A squad-based shooter.
I'd play that.
Yeah, I probably would, too. Yeah. Actually, I don't know. I would have said I'd play the Dante's Inferno game, but now I'm sure as hell not going to. So
that's true.
They really discouraged me from wanting to do that. Yeah, I don't know.
So!
Yeah?
Yeah, so Chris, I hear you were playing Fear 2.
You heard right.
The Return of Fear.
Who told you that?
You did yesterday.
Inside sources.
I mean, undisclosed sources.
Yeah. No, I played it. I played through it first on 360 and then PC because I got the 360 build first.
You played it all the way through?
Yeah. Well, I got...
Twice?
Pretty much. Yeah.
I listen to you, maybe.
What?
Well, I believe your opinion now, kind of.
Thanks.
Well, did you play on expert?
Well, actually, that's kind of one of the things I wanted to talk about, because I talked about this game with you guys, like, the other day, and...
I remember that. Like, yeah. It was yesterday.
Yeah. And, I don't know, I guess I'll lead off by saying, like, this game has a lot of flaws, for sure. Like, it's quite a flawed game, and I think the reviews that have been out so far, like, reflect that. Eurogamer actually gave it a 5, which was kind of surprising to me. I don't know. It's been a game that, for some reason, is more polarizing than I feel like it should be. I played through it on normal mode, and it's my biggest complaint about the game is that it's just kind of unfocused. It's got a lot of the stuff that made the original Fear something that created a lot of buzz and people talked about it, which is
AI, it's cool combat stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
Enjoyable enemy encounters.
Yeah. They don't do as much
cool
of
guns.
Sweet guns. It's got a sweet gun. It doesn't do as much in the way of sort of large arenas as Fear did. Like, it's still fairly arena driven in terms of you go through a lot of corridors to get to a room, and when you get to it, it's, you know, it's got multiple floors in it, which is really nice. There's guys up there shooting down at you. There might be guys behind a counter or something. There's a lot of pillars and possible cover. You run around. Like, it's the kind of, I don't know, Jake's laughing at me. Sorry. For some reason.
You said there might be guys behind a counter or something. I pictured just like, message for you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Bing!
From my gun.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Those are hardcore messengers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, they designed the environments in a way that is really good at encouraging you to be dynamic in the combat. Like, the enemies will try to run around and get you from the side, or Jake is stifling another laugh.
I gotta stop thinking when you're speaking. go ahead.
Thanks. It has a lot of the strengths that the original Fear did in terms of trying to encourage, like, dynamic combat where you actually move around and take advantage of your environment and deal with the enemies and try to distract them with grenades, which I really enjoyed doing. Actually, one of my favorite things in this game is throwing a grenade in a way that will cause the enemies to run in a specific direction, and then you take advantage of that distraction to then get to a different cover point or take out a different guy that you weren't able to deal with. It's things like that. And the thing I wanted to talk about that I wasn't able to tell you guys last time we talked about this game, or my co-host about this game, was that
that's us,
that's you guys. The first time I played through the game, both on PC and 360, I played on normal difficulty, and it was never like particularly challenging. Like, the combat was still fun in that I still felt encouraged to, you know, engage in different types of encounters and switch up weapons and throw grenades and do all that
stuff. But you didn't really feel it. You weren't feeling it.
I wasn't feeling the fear. Yeah, it's true. And also, it made the health system just seem completely incomprehensible to me.
Yeah.
Like, just redundant beyond any reasonable measure. Like, in the game, you have health that recharges up to about a third of your health. So if your health gets really low, it'll come back up to 25 or 30%. Also, you can carry around med kits and use them at any time. Also, you can find little health boosts on the ground.
Like an ultra
that
boost?
You can't carry that. Yeah, little ultra boosts, more like mini boosts. That'll just give you, like, you know, a quick little 5 points of health or whatever.
A little boost.
A little tiny boost. A little hot scoop of health.
Shut
and, like, you keep saying boost. I don't know.
It's boost.
And, it just seemed weird. It seemed very redundant. And I also never really needed them. Like, I pretty much always had the maximum number of health kits on me, which is 3. Once I turned it up to hard difficulty, and I'm playing through again now on hard, and I don't know if I'll actually play through the entire thing again, but I'll play through a good chunk of it. I actually find myself now using my health kits in combat, because if you're headshotted from if an enemy gets you with a headshot, like, it's a huge,
your head explodes.
If your head is destroyed, it hurts a little bit. Now, like, it does a significant amount of damage. And so I find myself like actually using health in battle, which means then after the battle, I'm actually looking around for those little health injectors. And so the different aspect. And if I'm really badly damaged during combat, I'll actually duck down and wait for at least to get that little recharge bit back. And that was stuff I never did on normal difficulty, because it was just never necessary. I mean, even, you could withstand a lot of gunfire on normal difficulty. Right. And so it really feels like this is the way the game should be played to really get the most out of the actual combat encounters. And I'm not usually the kind of guy who plays stuff on the hardest difficulty, because I don't know, I'm not like an amazing I'm a toddler, I guess, when it comes to video games. I'm not like an amazing fucking player of first person shooter or anything, and so I usually just do the normal one. But for whatever reason, I'm finding this game feels like the combat systems were designed around playing it on hard. And so and then for me, just on a personal level, for me, that is facilitated on the PC the best, because I don't know, just the aiming and stuff. I think I would have a lot of trouble pulling off a hard difficulty run on this game with a console controller, but that's up to, it's up to individuals. So anyway, that's the stuff that's good about this game. I really like all that stuff. I think they did a good job about it.
Sweet.
With it. The stuff that's not so good is that it's very scattered. Like, this game already has enough, I think, going on with all of the horror elements, which already can get overbearing at times. The combat stuff, then in addition, there's like fucking mechs sitting around, like, for no goddamn reason in like at least 2 parts of the game. Like, you'll go outside into the street and there's just like a mech sitting there. It's like, oh, good.
Sweet.
Glad someone left this here. I guess I'll get in it and like kill all these dudes who are standing on the street.
Really, there's like no explanation for why it's there. Like, the team's not like, we dropped this in for you ahead of time. Jump on in. Like,
you don't see the guy hop out and run into the diner.
Well, there's
like, he gets out, like,
right.
Put some chain in the meter.
I was actually going to ask if the mech was standing in a parking spot on the side of the street. Awesome.
There's actually one part when you get a mech where it's covered by like a force field, and the way you get into it is like by shooting
the force field.
By shooting the, like on power like power line poles, those weird little trash can looking things up at the top that have wires in them. I don't know what the fuck are in those things, but like,
you probably shoot one of them.
You have to shoot one of them, and then it disables for some reason the force field on this mech, because I guess it's plugged in to the, I don't know, whatever.
It's charging it.
It's charging up. Yeah.
It's a green vehicle.
And so at one point, I guess maybe the enemies didn't figure out that you have to do that to get into it. I don't really know. I have no idea why these mechs are here.
I locked myself out of my mech.
He's calling AAA.
Yeah. Right.
I killed that guy, though, so it's cool.
Emergent narrative.
I don't know. It seemed really shoehorned in. Also, when you get into the mech, it's kind of, they do a good job of like making the visuals look like they're sort of a slightly degraded video feed. Like, I don't know, the visual effects are kind of nice, but they also get a little tiresome after a while. Like, just looking at this grainy image, it just gets increasingly grainy as you take damage.
Right.
And you basically kill everything just by putting your reticule over it and holding down fire. Like, there's no, it strips away the stuff that's really interesting about fierce combat. You know what I mean? Which is,
can you stomp on guys?
I don't really think so. I don't know. By the time I got to them, they were already dead, usually.
I just interrupted you at a key point. Yeah. Right. The great thing about Fierce Combat, which is, can you stomp
on guys?
Stomp
on a guy?
Anyways.
That reminds me, actually.
Can you shoot missiles?
When I was seeing a demo of Mass Effect, like, 2 years ago or more.
Anyway, okay, you saw a demo of Mass Effect.
Yeah, and they were showing the Mako, like the car that you drive, or the, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it is, yeah,
the,
yeah,
fucking,
yeah,
lunar lander.
Yeah,
the you drive around and buggy and
buggy.
I asked the dude, I'm like, so can you run over guys with this? And it was really weird, because he this was a BioWare developer, and he's like, I don't know. It's a good question. I don't think we ever tried that. And I was like, well, how could you never have, like, it's
that the first thing you want to do in like, a car? Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And so he's like, let's try. And so he like drove it over to dude and like it worked. The guy sort of died, but also he sort of flew like a mile. Like it was clearly the physics engine in the game, like hadn't been given the exception or like
maybe
the specific.
He's a crate, maybe he's a guy.
Exactly. It was pretty funny.
That's what they did, like the Katamari thing when you bonk into.
Right. It, like just it ricochets away. Yeah. Right. So anyway, Fear. Yeah.
Anyway, the
great thing
it goes
about
against
Fear
the great thing about Fear Combat, which is.
Which is that it's that you are actually trying to take cover and use different types of weapons. Like when you're in the mech, it's basically hold down the machine gun. When your missiles spool up, fire those. Hold down the machine gun until your missiles spool up again. Fire those.
If a guy gets too close, stomp on him.
Maybe. I don't. I feel stupid for not having tried that, but I don't know if you.
I don't
do
know
that.
If you can stomp on a guy. Yeah. I don't care.
I don't know. It was just really. It was just kind of goofy. Yeah. It just didn't. I don't know. And there's a lot of moments like that in the game. There are they tried to sort of, I think, probably take a lesson from like Valve or Infinity Ward in terms of making a shooter like a first person shooter that's very linear and then breaking it up.
Right.
With
yeah.
Well, it's also we were talking about this when we had our previous conversation, but it was also probably a possibly misguided in execution attempt to sort of make Fear less homogenized after the as a response to the first one.
No, that's probably true. That's probably true. Because the first game, I you know, will admit, I think probably a lot of people, or some people anyway, had the complaint about the original Fear that after a while it gets a little tiresome just running through cubicle farms. That was the experience I had anyway. I don't know. Did you guys not have that? I certainly did.
Yeah. Yeah, I had that experience.
But I don't know. I don't think this was the right remedy, personally. It makes. I mean, there's other stuff too. There's like big turret sequences where you're forced into a turret.
Oh man, which, I love turrets.
Yeah, I heard you did. I don't know. Then sometimes you get in these horror sequences that just get a little overbearing and go on too long and sort of start to defuse the kind of surprising nature of them, which makes them less scary. I like that stuff in theory, but you know, after a while, you've seen all of the tricks that they bust out with the ghosts and the. You know, there are
I'm
some.
Glad that they busted out with a ghost.
Yeah, busting makes you feel good in this game.
Yeah, that's true.
there are some. They do like towards the end of the game start introducing some actual new enemies that play on the supernatural stuff in actually an interesting way. And I won't spoil them because they are one of the interesting things about the supernatural element. But for the most part, they stick to you know a fairly limited bag
like
of tricks.
Ghost.
Like you have to fight some ghosts. Yeah, it's a game I would recommend playing, but you know it's I don't know I feel like Monolith may have gone a little bit in the wrong direction on some of the stuff, but just as launching off of that in terms of the stuff they're doing with the kind of turrets and mechs and all that stuff, I wanted to sort of just bring up that I'm irritated by the increasing frequency of that kind of stuff.
You love set pieces.
I don't love set pieces.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys know what I mean
by
that? Like, yeah. It's,
well, we know what you mean.
It's, there's this, I guess it's probably in large part due to the success of Call of Duty and games like that. I don't know if you guys have any better sort of idea of where
Call
this came
of Duty,
from.
Gears of War, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Games where.
Games.
They, yeah. they tr-
popular
they,
games of the past, you know, 5 years.
Right.
6 years.
yeah. Jake is staring down.
Yeah, I know.
I'd say
4.5.
Yeah, you know,
4 and 3 months, 8 months
out of 10.
Yeah, just yeah. it's that mentality of sort of taking the core gameplay and then constantly breaking it up with really, really, really restrictive, very predefined moments where now you have to be in a turret and do this. Now you have to be, you know, in like in Fear 2, you have to be in the mech and you have to basically. That's the only feasible way to get through this section or like
right.
it's something that that sometimes can work, but a lot of times just feels unnecessarily restrictive.
Well, like, a few times it works for me, you know, I mean, it has to be used sparingly in a game. It typically like maybe as like a finale, like, you know, just like the second to last level, you know, like the penultimate level, like when you've like, I don't know, like as much as I didn't really care for the end of Metal Gear Solid 4, that, you know, when you get in the big Metal Gear and you're riding around and shit like that, that sort of worked for me. Like I didn't.
I thought the end of Half-Life 2 is another.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
yeah.
That's not really a set piece, but that is where just the gameplay just goes into this sort of crazy cinematic rape-a-thon.
It has to sort of be built up. Right. You know, no, and most of the time it's just not.
Or it has to be really good. I mean, I think that's the other problem with a lot of these. They're set pieces that look really nice because, like, if you're in the mech or if you're, like, in a turret or you're suddenly playing from a turret on a Jeep. It's these moments where the art department can just go apeshit because you're on a linear path or from a fixed spot and they can script all these crazy things that happen. But then you're suddenly in the middle of a game full of scripted crazy things happening
You're sitting on a Jeep.
Core mechanics that usually actually make the game fun. And sometimes moments like that are really, really cool when they're actually fun and short. But
the alternative is just, you know, I mean, instead of forcing you to be on the turret, giving you the, you know, just showing the turret, you know, right. just letting it be there. I mean, you know, you can complain about turret sequences, but at least, you know, in the past, most of the time you had the option of doing that or not, you know? I mean, in a Valve game, you know...
A turret is there if you decide to use it to kill a dude.
Yeah. And when when there's a car sequence, they don't, you know, put you in the car, load the level, and then, you know, you're in the car already, and, you know, some other dude's driving, you just have to, like, you know, no, it's like the car is there, and you get in it, and sort of have to figure out where to go.
That's basically what I hate the most, really, I guess is how I would put it, is that...
I guess how I'd put it is
is when a section... I guess all of my complaints about set pieces can basically be boiled down to... the ones that strip all interaction down to point and shoot.
Yeah.
I just can't stand that when
it turns into a mini game basically that has
or like an arcade light gun game. I don't want that. That's fine if that's what if you're actually playing, like, I'll fucking play Time Crisis when I'm waiting to see a movie. Like, that's fun as hell. But, like, when I'm playing a game that's all about me controlling a character and moving around, I don't want to suddenly have all of that ripped away from me and be reduced to just moving a cursor on a screen. The Halo games do a good job in some cases of putting you in, even when they do those things that in another game would be that, where literally there are some sort of annoying moments in Halo games where you're in a room and there are just waves of guys coming in at you. Right. And every time you kill the wave, more guys come in. But at least Bungie has the decency to fucking say, look, here are these turrets. That's the obvious way to beat this part. Right. But they're just fucking sitting there. Like, if you've played through this before, or if you're just have a different style, you can fucking just get down there with grenades or like fucking melee the shit out of everyone. Yeah. Depending on what weapon you've brought with you, like if you have a fucking rocket launcher with you, just use that. Like, you know, I will take that any day over a sequence that demands
get in the turret.
Yeah, that sucks. It sucks. Like, I was
press
playing
X to enter turret. Start scripted event.
Right. There are moments in like, I didn't bring this up, I don't think, when I was talking about Killzone 2 last week, but there are moments that really irritated me in that game that are
really
specific moments in regard to this where, because one of the things that game does is it. At any time, you can press the up button on the D-pad and it'll immediately give you a waypoint. But the waypoint, it breaks them up into like 10-foot segments. Right. So it's your waypoint is never further than like literally the edge of your screen. And so you can always...
Can you like keep pressing it over and over again to just spawn one that's always 5 feet in front of you?
No, because they're predefined.
Oh,
so
okay, I see.
It's like when you get to the one that's 5 feet away, it'll make a new one that's 5 feet away. But you could just keep pressing it and it would just keep laying them out in front of you as you get to them. And like... I found myself, maybe there's an option to turn that off, I don't know, but I found myself just doing that all the time because it was available to me.
Did you unlock the skip animation?
So
you could sort of skip along from dot to dot.
That would be fantastic if it was a third-person game. And then the times when it became most frustrating is when it would literally just point to a turret and have a little icon of a turret in addition to the turret. Mm. And I'm like, oh God, seriously? Like,
there's no enemies
on the screen anywhere in sight. There's not a single bad guy.
Oh, that's always the worst part about turret sequences.
There's just a turret,
yeah. And then you get on the turret, and then all of a sudden there's like a fucking flood of dudes.
In Killzone
just like,
2, can you walk past the turret up through like the empty zone, or is it locked up?
No, you can't.
Oh, okay. That's the absolute worst, is when you see the turret and the sort of lead up area that then leads to a locked gate about 300 feet up.
Yeah.
And you can walk up there and there's no switch.
Killzone 2 is heavily gated in that respect. Like, you're often waiting for teammates to unlock doors and stuff.
Mm. But when you can walk up there and then realize that what you actually have done is just traversed the turret arena and then you have to walk back all the way to the other side, get into the turret, and then the little yeah. what happens.
Like, what are they? Are they on like their little walkie talkies going like, shit, he's getting in the turret. Time to get down there.
Right.
Like,
when he was just standing by the door by himself,
he wasn't much of a threat.
Yeah, I mean,
now he's in a fucking turret. We
anybody
can't let
kill him then.
Like, this is what we trained for, you guys. When he's on the turret, we didn't know what to do when he was standing by the door.
It's the turret suppression squad.
Yeah.
The regular guys.
Those guys down here.
He killed all the other guys.
I don't know how to fucking kill him. Oh, he's on a turret.
Yeah.
Run at him a lot until we're all killed.
Yeah. And I, you know, I will say that.
Turret.
I will say that most. most modern first-person shooter games that aren't open-world games are heavily gated, so it's not like that's.
Oh right,
but yeah, like
sorry, I was
the
specifically
ones
talking about when the turret is the game.
Oh no, I know that's can what I mean. Yeah. Like when the illusion becomes so broken that, like, for example, Fear 2, I assume is also quite heavily gated, but I usually wasn't aware of that because to get through this room with dudes in it, I'd actually have to do a lot of interesting combat stuff.
Right.
By the time I was actually physically able to get to the gate, it would be unlocked because I have
right.
killed. Like, there were never situations where I would be like, shit, this door is clearly where I'm supposed to go, but it's locked because I haven't
right.
gotten in the turret. Like, that only happens a few times in that game, and when it does, it was like my least favorite part of that game.
Yeah.
I prefer when games pretty much just don't fucking ever do that. It's just, it's very irritating to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really mind a turret mechanic in the sense that, you know,
turrets.
Like, I'm sure the first turret sequence that I played, I was like, sweet, this is a lot of fun. But, you know, the problem is they're just not very inventive with it. I mean, yeah. like, as an example.
Where's our new turrets?
Well, the AC-130 gunship level in Call of Duty.
Call of Duty, yeah.
I mean, that's a brilliant turret.
That was
level,
amazing. Yeah, that was
it's point
fantastic.
And click, but it's
yeah.
fucking really, you know, it's original, it's inventive, it makes you think. It was,
right.
you know, it was fantastic. But just, you know, they don't take the yeah. time to, you know, sort of.
That's kind of actually, like, speaks to the larger point of about Killzone 2 when I was saying, look, this isn't like a badly made game per se. It's just, it was not like memorable to me in any meaningful way. Like, I'm fine with a game that basically plays it by the numbers in most respects, but I would like it to have something in there that's like, this right. is the thing this game's about that's interesting. Like, to me, Call of Duty 4 was like that. Most of the game design in Call of Duty 4 was not remotely new. Like, it was stuff that has been done in Call of Duty games for years and years, but it was presented in such a fascinating, like, mm-hmm. excellent presentation layer that made me genuinely interested in what was going on. Like, that was surprising to me in a game that's about modern military stuff, which I usually could not give a shit about at right. all. But that game, I'm like, Jesus, like, this is, I mean, the way, I don't want to spoil, I'm just stupid to worry about spoiling a game that old, but, you know, the way that you switch between characters and, like, the AC-130, just the overall mood of being in that thing and being like, Jesus, this is how a guy in today would kill
job.
All these people, like, in this weird, ghostly, impersonal way. Like, that was a fascinating moment, I thought. That game is, like, a video game is very good at illuminating.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, when I play a game that is all of that stuff, but without the artifice, it's like, what, you know, there are games that already do this in an interesting way. Why would I want to play it in a way that's completely stock?
Because it's on the PS3. Sorry.
Man, you're out for, I don't know, out for blood today. I guess, I don't know.
It kind of has to be said.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I will also say, like,
I've brought it accidentally, probably. Sorry.
That's fine.
No.
I want to also go back to the Half-Life games because I think that they are open to criticism for, like, I can imagine someone listening to all the shit I'm saying, well, like, what about the Half-Life games?
Right, what
they're
about them?
Like, the same.
You walk down a line and there's set pieces.
Right. The difference to me is, and this is something I was talking about with Nick the other day, weirdly enough, despite the fact that they're obviously shooters and no one would call them anything other than shooters, the things I remember in the Half-Life 2 series are not shooting so much. Like, that's
the
not
sorts of things you'd remember from, like, an adventure game. Is that what
you're
talking about?
Yeah, I remember.
That's actually, I use the word adventure. Like, it feels like, as much as, you know, 90% of that game is shooting, you know, stuff that I remember.
They break it up so much and so well. Like, you'll just be walking around. Like, the stuff I remember from that game is literally the environments and the stuff like that Breen says that comes over comes over the PA, and, like, just watching ships fly overhead in ways where the game isn't demanding you see it, but if you're kind of following the eye line, like, you'll, you know, the things will just happen in ways that are not just fucking throwing shit in your face in the screen all the time, but there are always interesting things just happening that you can see. I mean, it's just, I don't know,
the Valve games are really good at operating or at least making you feel like Valve trusts you to see this stuff for yourself.
Right, exactly.
Even though it probably actually is really deliberately tailored so that you're
looking at it. Definitely is.
It completely is, yeah.
Yeah.
But they playtest the shit out of that stuff.
And the other thing is it's not on rails. I mean that
it's on rails structurally.
Structurally, but the control, the player always has control. I mean,
you don't feel like your feet are nailed to a board that is on wheels riding around.
Even in the most directed sequences.
Maybe
like
in Gary's Mod.
Well done.
Yeah.
Was it?
I'm sorry, what were you saying, Nick?
Just say, you know, even in the most directed sequences, like just the helicopter chase in the original Half-Life 2, you know, where you're pretty much just, you know, driving your boat down a little, you know, canal, and then, you know, the helicopter's there the whole time. At the very least, you feel like you're in control of the boat.
But you're still dodging it and stuff.
Yeah, you're dodging, like, and you know, you're getting out of the thing.
You can also, if you want, literally do a complete 180 and go backwards. Like, I did that at one during one playthrough of that game. It's like, the game isn't, I mean,
just it kicks, you decided to go back.
Yeah, I'm like, the game isn't actually physically stopping you from doing that. It might not, there might not be a lot of point to it, but I mean, the game isn't just reaching in there and slapping you away when you try to do something that isn't 100% on the prescribed path. I feel
you
like
turn the boat around. And Gabe Newell is behind you. The skybox is
chewing you along. You're like,
yeah. Like in a game that's already sort of on rails or linear, I feel like even that small amount of freedom is enough to pay off much bigger dividends in terms of how I feel as a player, my sense of agency. And I feel like Valve is extremely good at balancing that.
And what's hilarious is this is born out of a series that was known for its scripted sequences, right? Like, you know what I mean? That's, you know, it was a Half-Life. Oh, that's the scripted game.
Right.
But now it seems...
Well, people have just taken that and run with it in a way that's way more intrusive than I actually want.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Valve might bear some responsibility, I guess, for making, like, creating that scourge of FPS design, but it's like, they never did it that horribly.
No,
like,
it's always remained balanced.
It is the game that invented, like, you walk up to a window and see a crazy monster. I mean, I don't know if they invented it, I guess. I mean,
no, but in FPS, stuff, they definitely set the... This,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the one where all that sort of stuff happens.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Half-Life 1 doesn't... I mean, probably more than Half-Life 2. Half-Life 1 does an incredible job of making you feel like you're just fucking running away from horrible things happening all the time. And it's not... I didn't so much in Half-Life 1 feel like I'm necessary... I mean, you know, you can always see through the illusion if you've played enough video games. But I didn't really feel like... I'm running down a completely preset path. I'm just like, oh, fuck, gotta go. Gotta fucking go. Gotta run.
Right.
I'm in trouble. Like, that game was very frantic to me the whole way through. Half-Life 2 is different, but I feel like they did a good job balancing in the other direction by having a lot of those more reflective moments where you're just kind of, you know, there's that part when you're in the buggy and you have to jump across a gap. But to do that, you have to figure out a puzzle that basically requires you to be in that area for a while. And it's just very...
Right.
It looks nice. It's just kind of like a little relaxing. It's a weird thing to say, but I think they do a really good job in the Half-Life games of having sequences that just let you take a breather and kind of just collect your bearings, but still be enjoying the world and just the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like...
Without some dude talking on a radio telling you what your next objective is.
Gordon, get in the Jeep. Yeah. Gordon.
Yeah. Get in the Jeep, Gordon.
All right. Like,
Gordon.
I mean, that's like Alex, I don't think, ever gets in the car and drives you.
No, she'll only get in it after you get in it.
Right, but I mean, she doesn't take the driver's seat and go, and then if you try to jump out, it's like, Gordon, come back here. Gordon, we gotta move. I think she does say that, actually. Oh,
but,
really?
Yeah.
That's too bad. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, but she'll...
And if it was Half-Life 1, you could kill her.
Yeah, that was one thing. That is kind of one thing I miss, being able to kill NPCs. I mean, I understand why.
Oh, Gordon, like, Freeman, it's you. Like, oh,
right. I mean, it's...
I guess I'll find a switch somewhere.
Right.
Yeah, right.
That would probably be less effective today, but back in 1998, that fucking blew my mind. I'm like, shit! Oh, shit! I didn't... Fuck! I'm sorry! Yeah. Like, now what am I gonna do?
Kill the scientist with a clue.
Yeah. I mean, obviously...
They invented autosave.
The scientist would come up and go... The thing's overheating. You need to go down to this place and do this. And then you press him again. Oh, I'll follow you. And press it again. Oh, I'll stay here. Follow you. Like, no, but you knew a minute ago that... All right. I guess you'll follow me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's too bad.
It is. Yeah. Anyway.
Fucking guy.
Games.
Yeah, video games.
Yeah. So anyway, going back to... not Killzone 2 itself, but, I don't know, Killzone 2... and the people who talk about Killzone 2 on the internet.
Killzone 2 the controversy?
Killzone 2 the controversy.
Killzone Gate?
I feel like the people, like, what? There's a valid debate to be had over the quality of Killzone 2. Like, I think there are, you know, probably a lot of people who will think that game is totally awesome for, like, pretty legitimate reasons. And then people who like me, were just not as into it for what I think are also very legitimate reasons. There's also, like, sort of just the insane faction on the internet who...
you gotta watch out for those guys.
Like, well, you know, I mean...
The crazy people?
Like, yeah, I don't know. It feels like you've got people on forums who are sort of, like, backed into a corner at this point about this game, like, who will probably
genuinely...
They gotta
back up their cred.
Yeah, like, I'm sure they'll genuinely enjoy it for real, but also they are literally, like...
They've gotta make sure you know why you should enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Like, they are... absolutely unable to conceive of a world in which
in
someone
which God in world, does not exist
in which someone would not enjoy Killzone 2. So they basically declare anybody who claims not to love Killzone 2 like to be a liar or to be anti-Sony, or
they're just looking for hype, they're just doing it for the hits, getting on Dig.
Yeah. And, like...
just Kazurai, like, making 100 accounts.
Oh, God.
Just trolling forums.
an editor-in-chief of an actual PlayStation coverage site, PSX Extreme. They have
it's
two...
so extreme. Yeah. It's got an X in the name twice.
Yep.
They cover the PSX as well, the PlayStation 2 media hub variant.
They got the PSX Extreme PSX section. PSX.PSXExtreme.com/PSX.APX
Yeah. It's a streaming video.
The editor-in-chief of that, Ben Dutka, wrote an editorial in which he just completely excoriates Edge magazine for their 7 out of 10 review of Killzone 2 and basically declares Edge clearly... Well, first of all, he says they are lying to you, is what he says.
For attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that this will probably make me also be in trouble, but it really does remind me of weird fundamentalist Christians.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, do you want to elaborate on that? Yeah.
I don't know. Do not listen to this man. He is lying to you. It's like, what? I didn't like it. Do not be corrupted by his crazy ways. Like,
it's even more extreme than that, though. It's not like the Edge guy saying, I didn't like it. It's like he's saying, this is a good video game. We think this is good, so we gave it the number in our score that means good.
But he did not accept Killzone 2 as his Lord and
into
Savior.
Into his heart, yeah. He didn't fully, repent his sins to it. So yeah, apparently that 7.0 review was grounds for PSX Extreme.
That's
to just
the edge
run
equivalent
the most,
of good.
Like, yeah,
exactly. That.
Yeah,
7 equals good.
Right, but not good enough. So anyway, I won't go too much longer about it, but it's worth reading if you just want to, I don't know, experience the ramblings of sort of an insane. I don't even know how to put it, but just. I don't know. I assume that group, the group of people who falls into that, like, appears much larger than they are because they're on the internet.
Like a scared bear.
Presumably that those people make up a very tiny percentage,
right, like it's,
like, of the overall PS3 user base. But
it's,
like,
it's fine to like Killzone 2.
Exactly.
It's fine to dislike it, but... telling someone else that they're lying to you because they thought that it was good,
right,
and not like changing your life and like offering eternal hope.
Yeah, this guy.
Well, he also,
like,
says that there are wrong opinions,
right?
Which I mean, is a fundamental, right.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. In fact, I don't know where the paper is, but he actually printed out. What am I talking about? He made a comment in response to his story. Other people were responding to it and saying, oh, you know, they were probably just speaking their mind, you know, just saying this is what they thought about the game. Like, they had a different opinion about it than you did. Ben Dutka posts a comment in response saying, they're not speaking their mind, and I'm sorry. There are such things as wrong, quote, opinions, unquote. It's my opinion that the sun isn't hot. Mm-hmm. Then he adds, it's their opinion that Killzone 2 is inferior to about 25-30% of all games that are currently available.
I forgot about the 30%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forgot about 30%. That's really nice.
Like
a 7 out of 10. So, I mean,
not a percentile. It's not an SAT, you're better than this many people score.
I enjoy that concept, though. I like...
Yeah.
The idea of that.
Can you imagine how much more horrible scored reviews would get if you as an editorial staff had to actually do like a fucking bell curve and be like, now look, this many games to get this percent, right. Otherwise it just doesn't
add
up.
The top 500 games like every time you review a game, also, like having to like readjust your rankings.
Yeah, exactly.
Alternatively, can you imagine how fucking good gaming would be as a medium if 30% of the games made were better than Killzone 2? Holy shit! That would be so many fucking good games. Like, if 30% of the contents of a GameStop was stuff that would be worth buying.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Just kidding, though, because it's 4,000 pool games and like a Hoyle card gallery, like party babies.
Oh my god, I was in a GameStop the other day.
What?
I was in a GameStop and they have like in the DS, you know, wall. They a row and a half is full of nothing but different Imagine games.
Yeah,
like there's like Imagine Babies, those Imagine Party Babies, Imagine Cheerleaders, Imagine Fashion Designer, Imagine Interior Designer. It's fucking unbelievable. Like, how do they greenlight this bullshit? Does someone just come in and just say a word?
That stuff must sell really well, which is horrible because like it's hard,
preaching Islam.
It's pretty hard for God. That's true.
Islam is the light.
That's horrible.
It's so hard for good smaller games to get space. Like GameStop will say, "We're not going to order any of these because we accidentally or deliberately ordered a shelf and a half of Imagine Party Babies."
Yeah, if Free Space 3 came out tomorrow, there would be no shelf space for it because it would be full of Imagine Party Babies.
What if they made Imagine Spaceships?
Imagine.
I would probably buy that.
So
game.
That's the hint, indie developers.
I think that's
put the word Imagine in front of
Spore.
Oh,
ouch.
Oh,
yeah,
man,
jeez,
smacked
that
down.
Really killed the atmosphere.
So anyway, I hear that a song exists.
Yeah, so anyway, I wrote a song
about Imagine Party Babies.
Imagine Party Babies.
I wish it was that.
It's it's a hymn drawn from the Quran. I wrote a song from the perspective of Ben Dutka, editor-in-chief of PSX Extreme, addressed to the staff of Edge magazine in regard to their review. So here it is, enjoy it. We'll be back after the break.
Sweet.
Look, we're not saying that we're right. We're just saying that you're wrong. With your quote-unquote review of Killzone 2, and you're desperate for attention, yet barely worth a mention, except to take contention. With your desperate grab for hits, you gave Killzone 2 a 7. I wanted an 11 on our site. Our scale doesn't go that high, but I had to try. And who are you to say Killzone 2 is a good game? Because it's not. It's a perfect video game. Yes, it's a perfect video game. Oh, it's perfect. You can't give Citizen Kane a 7. Everybody knows, just ask Roger Ebert. He would tell you that's a disgrace. Citizen Kane gets 2 thumbs up, and therefore so does Killzone 2. Just ask PSX Extreme, but I would give it 3 thumbs up. But I don't have 3 thumbs, so you can lend me 1. And together. Three thumbs up for Killzone 2. Me and you giving Killzone 2 its due. And that leaves one idle thumb.
Son of a bitch.
Who thought this game was a little bit dumb? Video game.
All right, back from the break.
Hey. Oh, man. Woo.
Turrets.
Thanks. Anyway. We don't have. I don't have.
Whoa!
I don't have. Think I'm gonna have time on this podcast to get into it in depth, but I do want to mention that Criterion released the PC version of Burnout Paradise.
The 1 year anniversary edition.
Yeah, right. on the PC, and it's a great port. I've been playing a lot of it. It runs really well, ridiculously fast with no frame rate loss, at least on my machine.
It's got all the DLC too, right?
It's got all the DLC, and I just beyond that, not specific to the PC version, I wanted to just, I don't know, I guess just draw attention to how impressive it is that Criterion has developed so much DLC for this game, most of which is free. It's very cool. It's very rare for developers to
make good DLC for this long.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Valve has been doing that with TF2, and on a related note, I might as well mention that they announced today that the Left 4 Dead DLC will be free. So that's cool.
Yeah.
How's awesome. That even a surprise? They were doing that for TLC. TLC.
TLC.
F2. Yes. It's the Tender Loving Care Fortress 2.
Yeah.
What?
It's in a waterfall. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Team Fortress 2. Good.
Yeah.
anyway. Oh, hey, while we're doing like little minor shout out things.
Here,
Wait,
oh, yeah, go ahead. On. No, go ahead, Nick.
No?
Well, I was just going to just mention that a new Aliens versus Predator game was announced by the original AVP developer, Rebellion, which is, if anybody played, I mean, there have been a lot of Aliens.
But the first Predator one was cool.
The first one was great. Yeah. It was really, really good. So this is coming 2010, so I'm pretty excited about that.
And then that's, is that also published
sort of
by
like
Sega?
Residually, huh?
Is that also published by Sega?
Yes.
So what happened to the
made?
Gearbox thing?
The Gearbox game is on hold. I mean, it's been delayed. So, yeah.
Oh, is Gearbox making an Alien versus Predator game as well?
No, they're making an Aliens game,
which is like a
four-player co-op kind of thing.
Yeah. So maybe we can get in 2010 Aliens versus Predator versus Aliens.
it seems interesting to me that Gearbox officially announced their game was being delayed the same day that Rebellion announces they're making an Aliens game.
Well, I think that was just Sega's way of like sort of smoothing over the news that
I know. It just seems other, weird. I mean, like, what's games. The deal with the Gear? I don't know the Gearbox. The Gearbox
what's
thing
the deal
seems,
with the Gearbox?
What's the deal
aliens?
With hey
Aliens?
Well, Sega's not doing very good.
Yeah. No, Sega's in deep shit. That announcement the other day was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Jesus, they announced they're firing like.
Yeah. It's like
560
dudes,
people or something. Also, they're asking for voluntary departures. Like,
yes.
Yeah, voluntary redundancies.
Companies do.
Please lay yourself off.
Yeah, only like the what? Auto companies. Like
they you know, like they accidentally let go of their HR department before. Please clear out your desk, change your passwords, and
if you wouldn't mind, I mean, you know.
Oh man, the oh god, what developer was it that was shut down, and then they U-Haul showed up? It was on Gamma Sutra.
Oh,
I can't
God,
remember.
Bottle Rocket.
Bottle Rocket, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were making the Splatterhouse game.
Right. Oh, yes.
The publisher just sent...
They sent Namco's a U-Haul sent. Over yeah. to the office
what,
and
they
just
say,
carried away all their debut.
Oh, at least they weren't like,
equipment.
Here's this, put your computers in it. Isn't that from The Office? Or it's from something. God, never mind.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
But yeah, that was a pretty brutal scenario.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's the worst.
It's hard to know what. I mean, for all we know, the developer could have been just completely missing every milestone or something. I mean, who the fuck knows?
It's pretty hard.
But it's
to
pretty.
Send
no, I know. It's yeah. pretty. It's pretty brutal. It's really ridiculous. Especially because I don't know. It's really unclear like what is going to be done with that. All the stuff that company did on that game. Like, if
right.
they're actually going to get paid for it or what? It's. I don't know.
But yeah. Games are recession-proof for sure.
Yes. Yep. Ugh. Hey, Activision's doing well.
What?
Activision's doing well. You know?
Yeah, God.
They're recession-proof.
Activision.
Yeah. Anyway, Tony Hawk and Guitar Hero just killed the podcast.
Sadly, they didn't kill Activision.
Oh man.
Jeez.
Man, you're like a step away from drawing horns on Bobby Kotick.
No, I don't know. I mean, it's not like Activision doesn't put out some good games. Like, Infinity Ward's an amazing studio, but...
Yeah.
And Blizzard's great, obviously.
And Activision.
Anyway, moving on, I guess. Yeah. So I saw some games. I did. A few days ago.
Movie related.
I saw the games based on the Wanted movie, which came out like last year, I guess.
The one where you curve bullets.
Yeah, you were curving some bullets at a dude.
Yeah. And then the Watchmen movie, which. The Watchmen movie, which comes out soon, I think. I'm not sure.
Sometime in March.
March. Wow, really?
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess the game comes out soon, too, then.
Early March.
So yeah, I saw those. The Wanted game is a full retail game. It's developed by Grin in Sweden. Actually, it's their Barcelona studio.
A big grin.
It's developed by their Spanish subsidiary, what have you.
Oh. Okay.
And it's kind of like a, I guess it's just a, it's sort of a third person cover game. You know, I mean, it's very much in the vein of Gears of War.
But you can lob bullets at people.
They basically work like grenades.
Super fast grenades.
Yeah, exactly. They're like instantaneous grenades. It's an instanade. Thanks, Jake. Actually, you know what? That would not be at all surprising if that was a marketing
term
that had been cooked up at some point.
Yeah. Like a bullet nade.
Curve your instanades.
It sounds vulgar. It sounds really vulgar.
They're going like instant aids or like or like nads. It's an instant nad.
Oh
god. Fans of the Wanted franchise should know this game is canon. So if you didn't know from the film, those are called instant ads. Look it up on the Wikia for Wanted.
Yeah. And I don't know, I think Grin's a pretty good developer. Generally, mm-hmm.
What else have they done?
Well, they're doing the upcoming Bionic Commando game.
Okay.
They also did
Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter games
okay. on the PC.
Cool.
Nick, do you know anything else they've? I mean, I know they've made other games, but
yeah, that's the most recent.
I think they've done some racing stuff or something. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway,
Grin.
Grin's Graw.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're one of those studios that has been around for number of years, but they're kind of in the last couple of years starting to be a studio that people know by name and building up other studios and stuff like that. I kind of wish they were making this game but not have it be a Wanted game.
You'd rather just get a new cover system, their take on a cover system game?
Yeah, I would rather just
instant ad the game.
instant ad 2025. I don't know.
That's marketable.
There's a thing that, like, yeah.
Instanard.
The producer that was demoing the game was going on and on and on and on and on about
how the,
it was weird. I couldn't. This guy was creepy. Had this powder and like
what?
Okay.
Whoa. Please talk. Whoa.
Gold Bond. No, he was talking about how they talked to the cinematographer and they, you know, talked to the director and they were constantly flying the team out to get visual reference and all this shit. And you look at the game and it's just like, oh, it's a gray fucking cover. Right. Like, it's gray, brown, shiny skin game. Like, this is every other... Well, you guys know what I mean, right? It's like, this looks like every fucking video game. Like, this... There's nothing about this that, like, if I were to see just screenshots or a video of this, I'd be like, "What?" I would never look at it again. It's just so generic in terms of how it looks, and just the dialogue is just so obnoxiously profane in a just not entertaining way.
So,
and
it's a movie tie-in game. Yeah.
It's a movie tie-in game. I would have liked to see them do it separately. I'm not excited about this game. Although my favorite quote from the producer, I got to say, was. So the thing we were really excited about this game was, you know, in the past, we were able to curve lots of things in video games, but never bullets. So that's what we were looking to bring to video games here.
That's
awesome. Don't mention any games where bullets have sort of fall off because
it's a curved bullet. Like where people actually model momentum or
right.
But that's not even the part that was hilarious to me. It was more just like, we've been able to curve lots of things,
yeah,
but not bullets. Like, what does that even mean?
It developed the
like,
bullet
what was
curving.
He talking about? Like,
right,
what
he's
things?
Talking about, like, the archways in Quake
like,
3.
Like, mortars? Yeah, like, curved surfaces? Like, I don't... that was a mystifying statement.
Mortars. We could curve a mortar, like a grenade, like a jump. But not
golf
a bullet.
Ball.
A golf ball.
Yeah, so that was weird.
The wheel.
It's a kind of like evolution of curves, right. Graph. Like
bullets.
Yeah. It starts with, yeah, yeah moon patrol, like jump, big, and then yeah, golf
hell, and
ball.
And in games
golf
have even
ball,
curved then, rockets yeah. before. You know, in Half-Life, you can curve rockets around. So these, I mean, bullets, they were just waiting for their day in the sun. anyway.
Grin. No.
Yeah, this game was just irritating to me in a lot of ways. But the
cool.
The I Watchmen mean, game... The Watchmen game, it was a downloadable game, which I actually wasn't aware of. It's episodic,
yeah.
So I don't know what their episode schedule is or anything, but...
yeah, or how many of them are there?
I don't know. I think there's 8 chapters, but I don't know how that splits up into, like, if they're releasing more than one of them
two
per
and,
episode or anything.
2 and 4,
I don't,
and
I have no clue,
whatever.
Right, exactly. I assume they're not going to release 8 episodes. That'd be crazy.
One a day leading up to Watchmen.
It's local co-op, which is a little unfortunate. I don't think there's any online co-op. You
what
play,
platforms is it? Is it on Xbox or something?
I think it's 360, PS3, and PC.
Yeah.
I think both of these games are that.
And DSi Download Network.
You,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So you choose either Night Owl or Rorschach from the...
Oh,
comics.
Speaking of like DSi, yeah. just random. I was thinking of DS beat 'em up games. That Tokyo Beatdown game looks awesome.
Oh, man, it totally
does.
I
really want that
yeah,
game.
Tokyo Beatdown from Atlus.
It's the crazy, like, 70s sort of cop, you know.
It's a Tokyo beatdown?
Yeah, it's a Tokyo beatdown.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
this game, unlike that, well, I mean, it is a brawler, actually, but it's a 3D brawler, not a 2D
right.
side-scroller. And you basically take, as far as I can tell, you pretty much take control of either Rorschach or Night Owl and just beat up, like, villains. You just kind of run around and beat up dudes.
It's supposed to be sort of set before the film, right?
Yeah, it's set
it's before they all had
well,
a weird
before
existential
the comic
crisis.
And the film.
Well, yeah,
yeah
whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, comic books.
And you know, it's just these are the self-styled superheroes killing bad guys, I guess is pretty much what it is. Nick, you were telling me that apparently this is based on like some
oh,
unused
yeah.
plot or
it's
something?
Based on a pen and paper RPG by I can't remember. But
I think Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons
contributed to it.
To
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So they're sort of claiming that it's vaguely canon, because
yeah.
I guess it's
yeah.
the only thing that Alan Moore worked on that wasn't
just the comic
that wasn't
itself,
the actual comic.
Right.
So that's kind of a hilarious way to
like
to,
add some
to sort
cred
of garner
to your,
fanboy
yeah,
cred.
3D beat 'em up.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, I will say also the cutscenes are pretty nice. Like they actually what they try to do is reconstruct Dave Gibbons' art style and just do it in still frames.
He did work
frames.
On that game. I mean, like,
oh, okay. Well,
they grabbed
they
him
did it
a,
pretty well, yeah. yeah. So
there's actually, they took scans from Beneath a Steel Sky and...
Dave Gibbons did art direction on that, right?
Yeah.
Is that what he did? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I referenced it.
Yeah, I know, but I was trying to remember what his role was.
Yeah.
In this game, actually, the cutscenes, actually, you know what they look like? Like animatics. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When, I don't know, Jake probably would be able to explain this better than I would. But like,
well, I haven't seen the cutscenes from Watchmen, but I mean, you're just talking
so
about
mean, like shifting 2D.
It's sort of like it's the 2D
like
art, but it sort of is motion animated a little bit.
Exactly.
So like the homeworld cutscene.
It's like a living comic book.
Yeah,
that's basically
Relic does a lot
this.
Of that stuff. That's in yeah. Dawn of War 2 has those. I mean,
right.
It's a cool...
And so and they did a good job with this because it really does actually look like Dave Gibbons artwork from the comic. Basically, I mean,
yeah.
it's they have to make it vector based, you know, so that it looks right. doesn't get grainy when they zoom in, but it looks nice and.
Actually, is it from that motion comic that they released?
I haven't the slightest
whatever.
Clue. I yeah. don't even know what that is.
But anyway,
well, no,
so,
I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's not a big part of the game, but I just wanted to say they look nice.
So it's a surprisingly solid beat 'em up for a Watchmen licensed game, or what
yeah,
you played?
What I played. I don't want to speak.
It's
to
an amazing.
Like,
it transcends yeah. the beat 'em up genre.
And I want to say that actually, I was way less bothered by this game than the Wanted game. Like. Which is funny because I would have expected it to be the other way around. Like, Wanted the movie looked idiotic to me, but it also seems like a video game concept.
Right.
But when I saw the game and heard people talking about it, it was like they were being so, like, much more ambitious or, like, act acting like they're more ambitious than it seemed like the game actually was. It's
pretentious.
Like, yeah, it seemed like a pretentious game, and that it was like, we're going to fucking redefine cover-based shooters and take it to the next level and curve things that have never been curved before. Right. And I'm like, well, or you're just making another cover shooter.
Right, where basically. The Watchmen game, like, they're like, you can beat up dudes.
Yeah,
right.
I think I mentioned this before, but it just reminds me of, like, if that game was, if they were making a Watchmen game in 1992 for, like, the NES, like...
Right, like, yeah, exactly, like the Ninja Turtles game.
Yeah, yeah,
right. Right.
I mean, and
I was about to. Never mind.
No, that's fine.
I'm done.
And I think it sort of thematically works, just because kind of the concept of the Watchmen is basically like before all the stuff that happens to set the plot of the comic and upcoming movie comes into motion. These were basically dudes who like dressed up and decided they need to fight bad guys. Like,
yeah,
that, I mean, I guess that's a fitting enough thing to make a beat 'em up out of. Like, I guess I'm okay with it.
It is infinitely better than them trying to set actually the events of the film itself, into a game.
Right. Completely agree with that.
Comic, whatever. Right. That would be that would be terrible.
Yeah. So I can't speak to the quality of the beat 'em up itself beyond the few minutes I played, but it seems solid. Like, there's combos. It prompts you, like, at the bottom of the screen if you start doing a combo, so you don't have to necessarily memorize 8 million button combinations. Right. It actually did, like, I could definitely perceive while playing it, it does discourage just random button mashing. Like, it makes you want to actually play it decently well. It seems like the kind of thing where if you had a buddy over locally, you know, you could play through co-op for a while. You can't change your character ever after you start the game, which is completely stupid in
That's
my opinion.
Bad.
But it seemed pretty fun.
So
I might download it.
If you have to make a video game to tie into Watchmen, at least it's this one.
Yeah, this is a pretty decent way to do it. I don't have any complaints.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's games.
It's games. So anyway... I don't know. Moving on from that. Going back to the curve services from Quake 3, I actually downloaded, because Jake mentioned it the other day, I downloaded Quake Live and played that for a few minutes yesterday. That was fucking humbling. it was actually kind of funny. Like, I loaded it up and it makes you play like a little,
tutorial.
Where you fight against a bot.
Right.
And I fucking killed her a million times and didn't die at all. And it's like, you're sure are good at this video game.
Right.
Like, your skill is great. And I'm like, sweet, I guess I remember how to play like a circa 1999 Twitch shooter. And then it's like, you're ready to go and play with real humans.
Right.
So I'm like, I click on the thing and
prepare
I go into the server.
Loading rape closet. Lower your drawers.
Like, I press the button to look at the score. Seriously, there's like dudes in there who have like 547 kills and like three deaths, and they're not bots. Like, they're just dudes who are talking to each other who are just like, yeah, man. Anyway, like, eventually one of them left and he's like, well, dude, it's been fun. See you later. The guy's like, all right, man, take care. Like, hope to see you around. Meanwhile, I'm just fucking getting gibbed left and right by these assholes. Like, it was crazy. It really reminded me of. Actually playing this game 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same.
It's still kind of fun, though. If you
it
like.
Is. I would actually really like to play this game, Quake Live, in a setting that is...
Like a LAN?
Well, not necessarily a LAN, but just, you know, people who... Just people from like an online community who aren't necessarily like amazing, but just like in the same way that I play Left 4 Dead, which is I try to play with people who I have like on my Steam friends list, and...
Playing it, like, maybe you'll casually. Get raped, but if everyone's sort of playing for fun and...
It's not...
Yeah. Casually. That's like the myth guy. Casualty.
Nice one there.
Wow, that was a... Yeah, that was
sorry.
A good
That snooty guy. Yeah. Like an asshole.
I mean, now all we need is Unreal to release... or Epic to release Unreal Live.
Yes.
Bring us back to the...
Mega game.
Wars, the classic.
That'd be awesome. Unreal Tournament Live would be hilarious.
Yeah.
That would actually be pretty funny if they did that.
Yeah. I mean, I'd play that too, honestly. I don't know. That game was...
I'd play the demo.
Yeah, the classic. Like,
I'd never play the actual free, like, Unreal Live. But I would play the free...
The amount of Unreal Tournament demo I played was huge.
Me too. I played so much of that game. I eventually bought it just because I kind of felt bad.
Yeah.
But I played the Unreal Tournament demo for so goddamn long.
I remember that demo. It was like the train level. And, yeah.
Was it... It was...
And man, Unreal... They also, like... Yeah.
Didn't Valve turn off the Left 4 Dead demo? Is that... Or was it... What was it?
They turned it off as soon as the game came out.
Right.
Yes.
To prevent that from happening.
Which is fair
which
enough.
Is really smart, actually. Yeah. I mean, it sucks, but also, it's the right move.
Yeah. I mean, Valve is sort of in the vein right now of Epic in terms of just releasing a bunch of extra cool shit for their games.
Yes.
They learned from the demo failure, though.
Right. that was when, like, in the Unreal versus the Epic versus id stuff, everyone was always like, please, I'm playing like 18 new game types and have 4,000 additional maps, all first party.
Oh, yeah.
When you're gonna have to pay $20 for stupid Team Arena, lame. And I was like, okay, you're right. Except fuck you, Quake's better.
Jake is living in the past.
Yeah, I am. That's cool.
Well, now there's Quake Live.
Yeah.
So now you can play Quake 3 and it's like a new game.
It's kind of like the exact same game. I was playing some Quake Live.
Apparently it still includes the fucking lame dudes who turn every graphical setting down to fucking zero.
I know, I know. That's
people
still do it even in Quake Live?
A wireframe. Yeah.
But like, what? Now I'm running at 3,000 FPS versus my current PC, which can, you know, get 2,500 with the textures on.
Yep.
People do it. People are doing that in Quake Live. They're pulling that super lame, hilarious.
Why do they
if you're one of those
that?
Guys, listeners, like the, please write in and justify your douchiness
to us. It's like putting chalk on your queue, you know? I mean, it's just
it's not like that at all.
That occasionally has merit, especially
occasionally. But
also,
but
like, also putting chalk on your cube has no bear like
on your cube?
On your cube, yeah. Putting chalk on your cube is something you can do when the other person's taking his team. Like God, I can't even speak. Taking his turn. Like it makes no fucking difference.
I suppose.
Like, you're not turning
to get
like,
an argument over.
I know, I didn't know you're gonna tear apart my
when you're not removing the lacquer from your cube.
Quake 3 is 10 years old at this point.
Yeah.
You don't need to turn that shit down for performance, and turning it off so that you're like a cheating douche just makes you a douche. It's Quake Live. It's like I don't know, but people are fucking good at Quake Live. Also,
maybe that's just part of the experience.
Well, I think a lot of those dudes have been playing for 10 years.
Yeah,
like they never stop.
It's part of the experience to just make everything look like a blobby orange box.
Yeah, wouldn't be Quake if I couldn't tell what the hell was going on.
John Carmack must have just been so bummed.
I know, yeah.
Like, we got this great renderer. It looks really a lot nicer than anything else the 1999 could offer. But people choose to make it look like, you know, like a flight simulator that you're playing on your 386.
Yeah, exactly.
But with a railgun only. Insta-gib.
Right. Yeah, so Quake Live.
Yeah.
People are still stupid. It's a cool game concept, though.
It was actually really enjoyable to jump back into Quake 3 and play some dudes and suck at it, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I remember, actually, it's funny you mentioned the debate between those games, because I remember being literally a moment where I was at CompUSA, and on the shelf in front of me, there was Quake 3 and Unreal Tournament, and I'm like, I only have enough money for one of these. I ended up going with Quake 3, but
life was forever changed.
I bought UT, like, eventually later, but it was, like, that was a very, sort of, at the time... Like, it was a very sincere choice. You know what I mean? Like, at the time, I'm like, man, I got to choose one of these games. This is going to be the game I'm going to play for, like, a while.
And that's when, like, John Carmack appears on one shoulder, Cliffy B on the other.
Or, like, Tim Sweeney.
Right. Or, that's far better.
Yeah. Two guys speaking and hilarious. Right. Just like,
my render is superior.
Real curves for the first time.
Curved surfaces. Yeah.
Six rockets at once.
Yeah,
but that argument, you probably should have gone for six rockets at once, but
yeah
probably, but whatever, those are both rad games. I never really actually felt like I had an allegiance to one or the other, but they were both pretty sweet.
Yep, classic PC games.
Anyway, yeah, classic games.
It's weird that that's also a decade ago. Let's just
I know Christ
reminder.
Yeah
Good
Everyone is old. video games are old.
Yep.
Mm.
But, you know, we do have our Citizen Kane now in Killzone 2.
That's true.
So I love the idea that the Citizen Kane of video games, like, comes after the Star Wars of video games. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what kind of fucked up, like...
And I don't mean this in any way, like, no offense to Killzone 2, but the Citizen Kane of games is Killzone?
Yeah.
Well, it's completely fitting, though. I mean, you have to admit that it's
I guess.
Killzone.
Killzone 2. Two.
Yeah, that's not even a comment on,
it's
like...
It's the Citizen Kane 2 of games.
No, it's the Godfather 2 of games.
Yeah, that's true. It's EA's The Godfather 2. I mean, if he's referring to the film, it's The Godfather Part 2, maybe. But if it's EA's Godfather 2,
that should be the tagline for that game. It's Godfather. The Godfather 2 of games. Godfather 2. It's The Godfather 2 of video games.
Yeah.
It's The Godfather Part 2 of video games.
Yeah, right.
Yep. So those two games, Killzone 2 and EA's Godfather 2, We've got all of the artistry we need.
We've got our Citizen Canes of games.
We've got our dual Citizen Canes.
It's a dual-wielding Citizen Cane.
Yeah. God damn it. Fucking people on the internet. Jesus Christ.
Mm. We're on the internet.
I feel ashamed for sharing an internet.
Wow, that's pretty harsh. All we do is talk about poop.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of which, reader mail.
Sure. Ouch, that was a fucking burn.
I love reader mail, actually. It's my favorite part.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, reader mail.
Reader mail.
Starring you, the readers. Oh, also, we keep forgetting to say this. If you'd like us to read your mail, you should send us an email to questions@idlethumbs.net about whatever the fuck you want.
They don't have to be questions.
It could be an answer.
Comments or screeds. Anyway.
You can call us dumb.
You can call us that. Joe Martin from bittech.net writes, Hey guys, Joe from BitTech.net here. I was listening to your last podcast and heard you go off on a tangent about Assassin's Creed. Made me go off on a tangent on my own that I thought I might broach with you. You talked about Assassin's Creed being quite a poor game on many levels, but you pushed through it anyway. This got me to thinking, do you have any guilty gaming pleasures, games you play even though you know they suck? For me, the main one, coincidentally, is Sin Episodes. Or episode, rather.
Oh.
I know that it's a hugely immature game in many regards, and it's far too short and quite basic, but I love playing it. The pistol just feels great to use. I love smooshy headshots at 50 yards. And the scoring and challenge system the game uses is totally fantastic. I also bought Postal 2, knowing full well how awful and badly designed it is. But sometimes there are games you like, despite those types of issues. Do you guys have any experiences like that? Oh, I also picked up Hitman Contracts and Blood Money on your recommendation, and I love them. Cheers, Joe Martin.
Cool.
Yeah. I actually will admit to really getting a sort of, I don't know, basic fun enjoyment out of Sin Episodes. I played through that episode and I enjoyed it. Mainly for the reasons he said. Like, the level design of that game was kind of just whatever. Like, I don't know. Most aspects of the game are actually pretty forgettable. But they did do a good job of just implementing, like, a nice solid pistol. And for some reason, on a PC shooter, I really like a good pistol. It sounds stupid to say that,
that's totally fair.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys have any contributions?
Man. I had all this time to think about it, and now I can't. NHL games, maybe? Mm. We argued about that before. I think that's not really a guilty pleasure.
Just a pleasure.
I've played bad games and enjoyed
nothing
them.
But pleasure.
Yeah. In the past couple of years, not so much, just because I'm pretty discerning. But
yeah,
I can think of games that I probably would go back and still enjoy that I would.
I mean, does it count that like almost every game that I play on like a mobile platform that is not a dedicated gaming platform is a game I would never touch if it wasn't on that?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
basically,
yeah,
anything on an iPhone or other cellular phone.
That's justifiable.
I sink a sad number of hours into that kind of game sometime, and then you sort of step back and look and are like, whoa, really? Am I really playing like hours of Zuma on my Razer?
Mm. Right.
I'm terrible.
Yeah,
whatever.
I play a fucking lot of Wordle on my iPhone, which is this game that gives you a big grid of letters and you have to trace words out of it. I play that game so much. It's preposorous. For a while
You're playing it right now.
Yeah. For a while there, I was on the worldwide leaderboards, but I haven't played it enough to keep up on that recently.
The worldwide Wordle board?
Yeah. Trying to think of other examples. They're probably. I mean,
I know exactly what this guy's talking about.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of
concrete examples.
Yeah.
There are definitely like a lot of Flash-based web games that I've played too much of, but I can't think of specific examples.
I spent an entire week playing Achievement Unlocked over and over again.
Oh, really? Yes. I played through that once.
I don't know why I kept playing it. It's so
that's funny.
The music and that little elephant, I can't stop.
That's a good answer to this question, I guess.
Yeah, because what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
It's a great game.
I don't know. I've played through a lot of games that irritate. Like Assassin's Creed, I wouldn't consider a guilty pleasure. It was more just dumb.
Guilt.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I've been trying to beat games this year, and I've done a good job of it, but I've also played a lot of stuff that I should not have finished playing. I don't know.
Hmm.
It's an interesting question. It's hard to think of that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of RPGs I'd probably go back and play Final Fantasy VII and probably still get some enjoyment out of it as much as I can back and objectively say that game isn't as good as I thought it was when I was, 14.
Yeah.
You know, nostalgia clouds my vision. I think nostalgia is a different thing. Yeah. That's why this is a challenging question.
All right. Well, we'll move on. That's a good question. If we think of anything for next week, we'll bring it up. Dearest Idle Thumbs crew, I love the latest blast cast. I think it should become a regular. An addendum to the podcast, even. Regarding the email blast comments at the end, I am annoyed by this as well. It just makes me think of the ShamWow guy. Every time I hear email blast, I just picture him throwing a ShamWow towel with the body of the email written on it at my face. We had a marketing person at work who kept talking to me about email blast this and blast that. Eventually, I blew up at him and told him to shut the fuck up and just call it spam because that's what he was talking about. What's next? Calling the penny saver snail mail blast? I'm glad I'm not the only one annoyed by this. Cheers, Louise, who can be found at nakedsushi.net. So, there's that.
I'll take a naked sushi blast.
There you go. Naked sushi blast. That sounds
really horrible.
Alright.
Yeah. I heard a couple people actually talk about email blasts, reminding them of horrible things blasting at them. And they aren't emails.
I'm glad to hear
that. It evokes horrible images.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ojibas writes, "Hi, I recently watched the movie Six String Samurai, and the main character strongly reminded me of Travis Dutchtown in No More Heroes. Has anyone seen the movie and is able to comment? Can you think of any other characters who are very reminiscent of movie characters?" I haven't seen that film. Maybe a reader has and can, I don't know, say something.
Yeah.
There are definitely about billion characters.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, watch Aliens and then play a sci-fi game and there's some...
But comparing someone to Travis Touchdown is a more...
That's way more hardcore.
More awesome.
Yeah. I mean,
I know of that movie. I've heard that comparison before.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, we're nailing them with the reader mail.
Yeah, we don't know what the fuck we're talking about, apparently. Matthew Gambles Gallant writes, "Hi, Chris, Jake, and Nick.
Hi.
In a recent episode, you said you couldn't see yourself playing through another 80-hour game and generally preferred titles you could finish more quickly. As someone with a shameful backlog of my own, I completely agree. However, many of my friends do not, as they only play a few games a year and see long games as better value for money. My question is, due to deadlines and time constraints, do you think reviewers and journalists are favorably biased towards shorter games? Do you think this causes them to be out of touch with the average video game consumer? Love the show. Keep up the great work. P.S. I happen to be walking alone in the middle of the woods at night listening to your podcast when the madcap laughter from the Tapezilla segment came on. You might owe me a new pair of pants."
That's
sweet.
Awesome. I think that there's obviously some reviewers out there who prefer shorter stuff, but for every one of those guys, even if you just listen to some other podcasts or read sort of back and forth 1-2 things on a lot of major sites, web editorial outlets are full of dudes who love games that are 60 hours long.
Yeah.
And that is $1 per hour.
Yeah.
Just like
his question specifically was, is the fact that it's longer and that it takes more work to review, is that
really what he's saying?
Yeah.
That
is what he's asking, but I don't think it's the case.
I don't think so either.
I mean, if you look at, I mean, I don't know. If you look at the games that, I mean, Fallout 3, GTA, the Final Fantasy games, Metal Gear Solid 4, like
those games last
a billion
too.
Goddamn hours. And exactly, that's what I'm saying. They're all get amazing review scores. Yeah. So I don't think that's probably something that
I mean, also there are probably,
in fact, I would say more games are criticized or get lower scores for being short than anything else. Like, I read tons of reviews where they're like, and it's but only 6 hours long, this game, really, you're not getting the value for it. And
even Portal, which is the poster child for short and sweet, like,
right,
would got that, that showed up in the negative right. column in a lot of the reviews.
Yeah, that kept that game actually from, even though it won a lot of awards, it kept it out of the sort of like Metacritic higher ranks, mainly because that was
kept it out of the top 30% of games.
Like, mainly for that reason, that was easily the biggest con I saw listed in that game.
But yeah, I mean, I think that really is just sort of a matter of personal preference, and I mean, there probably are some reviewers that somewhere in the world who will say, sweet, this game's like 10 hours, my life is great. But there are also reviewers who say, this game's 60 hours, I'll only play 10 hours and write a review. So, I mean, I think it just depends on totally the reviewer and whether or not they're actually, you know, I mean, whatever.
Although, just to speak ideally for a second, like, I wouldn't say that as a reviewer, you should really be considering the length as a factor in any, unless that specifically is affecting, you know, your enjoyment of a particular section of a game or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's kind of a gray area, but I really don't think
did you have a really enjoyable 100% of the game, or did the game stop being enjoyable 50% of the way through, regardless of how many hours that percentage
I mean, just because something's 4 hours long, as a reviewer, even if I prefer shorter games, whatever that means, you know, like, I think that you should still be able to kind of sit back and go, all right, you know, you know, just because this game is 12 hours long, I should kind of maybe play it in 4-hour chunks so that I don't, you know, give it a negative review because I prefer short games. I don't know. I think if you're a reviewer, you sort of have a responsibility to kind of approach it from the perspective that, you know, anybody else who picks up this game is going to, you know, expect a 12-hour game. So I should kind of review it from a, you know.
I think it depends. I think it depends. Give it the time it deserves.
I mean, it's like if you're
writing for GameSpot or IGN, I think that is what you should strive for. But I mean, there's a lot of other types of criticism and review that aren't predicated on, like, let me try to put myself in the shoes of anyone who could possibly be buying this game.
I think if it's within reason, I think if you're talking about a game that's within, you know, 1 to 12 hours, fine. But if, you know, I mean, if a game is 40 hours long, then maybe that has some, you know, if it's just obscenely long, like a Persona game, and you're just not enjoying it all, I think that could have some impact on it. But I think, you know, otherwise, I don't know, to me, if you're reviewing a movie and you just prefer 2-hour movies over 3-hour movies, I don't think that should have any impact on your, I mean,
That's a fair point, but
everybody's opinion. But
there's also so much more kind of variability in game length than movie length. Like, that's a pretty extreme comparison. Like, there's, you know, I mean, but anyway, whatever. I think, I mean, whatever. I don't know. This topic we've talked about before, I think. Oh, also, before we wrap up, I want to reassure the people who won our contest a billion goddamn years ago that today I sent out all the prizes for your stuff, so you should get that by the end of the week, probably. So I sent out 45 goddamn games to 9 people today.
So congratulations, winners congratulations of the Ultra Boost contest and Little Big Planet level contest.
Right. I might put some
mail blast
photographic evidence on the forums to prove that I finally got off my ass and did that.
Chris blindfolded holding today's newspaper and a picture of a bunch of games.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, that was a cast.
Thanks for listening to
your
the internet.
Face. Video games.
Turrets.
Call of Duty. New Half-Life demo and multiplayer. They had turrets.
Player agency.
11 years ago, and it wasn't boring then. It's coming back.
It's not really.
No. Kind of.